Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, will you be voting for President Trump in November? That's my first question for you. Will you be voting for him in November? My second question, a little more interesting. Did you not vote for him last time, but you're going to vote for him this time? So maybe last time you voted for Hillary. Or maybe last time you didn't vote. You chose not to vote. You just couldn't bring yourself to do it. Or perhaps last time you wrote somebody in, but this time you will vote for Donald Trump. So that's kind of my question for you. I'm going to see just a little gauge where we're at today when it comes to this re-election campaign of President Trump and what's going on there. So I'm curious. Plus, I'm riding on about 3 hours of sleep. I don't want to give you all the details, but some really difficult challenges going on in my wife's family with her sister's health. So if you would be so kind. So I had to put my wife on a plane really early this morning to fly up to Chicago from here in Raleigh. So if you would just be so kind as to pray for Nikki and their family, I would appreciate that. And I know my wife and all of them, all of her family would appreciate that. So I'm riding on about 3 hours of sleep, which kills my voice, which means I don't want to talk a lot. So I'm gonna lay this off on you guys until we talk to David Fisher in the fourth segment with a little Money Monday update. Got plenty of things to talk about there, what's going on out there in the economy. But that's my question for you. Are you going to vote for him this November? That's an easy one. For most of you, I think that's probably a yes. Or are you changing your vote? Were you a no last time and you're a yes this time? That's I specifically want to hear from you. And I'm just curious as to why. What's going on? What's happened in these last 3 years that you couldn't vote for Donald Trump last time? Or perhaps you wrote somebody in, but this time you're definitely going to vote for him. And I'd like to hear from you. Or there might even be a few of you that voted for him last time, and you're not going to vote for him this time, which is interesting. And also, if you happen to be an African-American and you didn't vote for him last time, and you're going to vote for him this time, I'd like to hear from you as well. 866-348-7884. Just trying to see how things have moved around. Trump was a wild card for a lot of us, most of us probably, in 2015 and 16. He's not a wild card anymore. He's got three years of track record. And has that changed your vote? Has it impacted what you're going to do this November? 866-348-7884 is the number, or 866-34-TRUTH. Help me out. Show me a little grace, a little courtesy today, and help me not talk as much. You know full well that I'll talk on and on and on. Just ask my family. But today, I would love it if you would help by just calling in and sharing. Are you voting for him again? Did you say no last time, but yes this time? Perhaps you said yes last time, but no this time. Especially if you're changing your vote and voting for or against Donald Trump in November. Just curious what's going on there with you. So please give me a call. I'd love to hear from you today on the show. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Maybe it was yes last time and double yes this time. I asked the question on Facebook a little while ago. Jay on Facebook said yes last time, double yes this time. Jacob said, I did write in somebody last time. We'll definitely be voting for him this election. Aaron said, reluctant last time, more enthusiastic this go around. Had several people that said that. I didn't last time. I wrote somebody in this time. I'm totally down. I'm totally with them. Some people just said no last time, yes this time, yes to both. I said no last time, but I'm saying yes this time. So a lot of people changing. Sidelines last time, wrote somebody in last time, then definitely voting for Donald Trump this time. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH today on the Steve Noble Show. Thanks for playing along. The phone lines are all jammed up already. So thanks for helping me out. So I'm going to just be patient. Keep trying. I'm going to jump to Yvette. Did I get your name right, by the way? This is Steve. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yvette.
Yvette. Sorry about that. Thanks for calling. Yes. Go ahead.
Thank you. No, I did not vote for Donald Trump the last time, and I would not, I will not this time.
So nothing's changed for you?
No, just too much division, much more division this go round.
Yeah, so despite, some of his stuff is hyperbole, but largely the economy is doing better. There's a lot of good things that have happened, but the divisiveness for you kind of overrides that even?
It overrides that. The economy is great, but, you know, what we stand for as a nation, I don't think anyone has ever seen anything like this, and I don't think it's good for the United States.
Yeah, so would you say, Yvette, that your concern is not so much for the short-term good things that are happening, but you see this long-term as something that's destructive to the country?
Well, I do feel short-term there. I feel the negatives outweigh the positives, and I think in the long term, we're going to see that more. I am a Christian, and so I do stand for life, pro-life, and of course, I'm not for same-sex marriage, but I don't think Donald Trump being in office, even if he wins again, I don't think those things will be done away with by him being in office.
Oh, no,
we've
definitely
had other that's what I'm saying, Republican candidates. So
sure.
Oftentimes that's thrown out to the conservatives as that's the thing that would help you make your decision. That's not going to go away, even with Donald Trump as president. And I think sometimes people are misled to think that. So, you know, the economy, yes, is good.
Yeah. So what will you do in November, Yvette? What do you think you'll do in November?
I'm not sure yet. But the one thing I'm sure about is I will not be voting for President Donald Trump. You know, it's funny because we had some Christian friends when Barack Obama was president, and they constantly called us. They said, what is going on? Look at all the division. Well, all while President Trump has been in office, we have not gotten calls from those friends.
Yeah.
I think they are shocked. They're shocked to see the level that the disunity has gone to. And on that point, I got to let you go. I also think
it's sad that we have more conversations with friends under one president than we do under another. And
right.
For us as Christians, especially if they're in the body of Christ, we shouldn't be letting any president come between us in terms of people that follow Jesus Christ.
I was quite disappointed, I have to say.
Yeah.
Quite disappointed.
I understand that.
Thanks
for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
God bless. You too. Bye-bye. Let's jump over to, let's go to Berkeley real quick. Berkeley, I'm short on time, so go ahead real quick. Thanks for calling.
Hey, real quick, voted for Trump last time, and will be a double vote this time.
Well, in order to get a double vote this time, Berkeley, you're going to have to move to where I used to live up in Chicago.
Okay. Well,
I'll just leave it at that. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. Are you changing your vote? Did you say no last time or wrote somebody in last time? And then you're saying yes this time to Donald Trump. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Will you or will you not vote for Donald Trump in November, particularly if you're changing your vote? Perhaps in 2016, you wrote somebody in. I didn't vote for Donald Trump in the primary, but I voted for him in the general election. I voted for Cruz in the primary, but I voted for Trump in the general. But I know plenty of people that actually wrote in a couple different people in the general election. But this time around, a lot of people, I just put this up earlier on Facebook, and a lot of people were like, yeah, I wrote somebody in last time. I'm definitely voting for him this time. So I think there's a lot of that going on. From a polling perspective, it's going to be interesting because I think there's plenty of people that won't tell a pollster that they're voting for Trump for whatever reason. Maybe they're like, I don't, you know, he can be pretty nasty. I don't want to be associated with that. Some people don't care. Some people don't think he's nasty. But other people that like what's happened with the activities of the executive branch under Donald Trump, but may not be comfortable with him as an individual, that they're like, yeah, I'm voting for him. I don't really like him, but I like what he's doing, so I'm going to vote for him. So I'm curious about you. Are you changing your vote in particular? And if you're an African American, if you're actually going to vote for him this fall and you didn't vote for him last time, I'd really be interested to hear about that because he's made a lot of inroads in the African American community from a polling position. Some recent polling showed him at a 22% approval rating in the African-American community, only 15% somewhat disapprove, so they're kind of in play. Hispanics, he's at 35% approval rating. And so going in, all he's, if he moves, he got 8% of the African-American vote last time. If he gets 10% or 12%, that's a big deal. Now, the thing about these national polls, and I'm going to get back to your calls, the thing about these national polls is most of them right now in a head-to-head with Trump and Bernie Sanders. I'm like, this is why I'm thinking, once again, you can't trust the polls. Quinnipiac, Sanders up 8. Are you kidding me? NBC News, Wall Street Journal has Sanders up 4. This is against Trump. These are just a couple weeks old. IBD, Investors Business Daily. Now, this is all pre-State of the Union address. That had Trump up 2. But Emerson had Sanders up 2. ABC News, Washington Post had Sanders up 2. Fox News had Sanders in mid-January, had Sanders up 6 against Trump. That's nuts. But then they've been saying that Joe Biden's going to run away with the Democrat primary, and he's not going to. I think Bernie Sanders is going to win. So it's pretty interesting, but I'm mostly interested today in you about voting for Donald Trump. 866, are you changing your vote in particular? But if you're yes and yes, no and no, I'd be happy to hear from you as well. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Going to go to Gina calling in from High Point, North Carolina. Gina, sorry to keep you holding. Go right ahead.
No problem. I wrote in a candidate, McCain, but this year I'll vote for Trump.
So what's changed for you?
Well, McCain, I liked his presentation, his character, and I didn't want to vote for Hillary, but I also had my views against Trump because of what he said about the veterans. But the Democrats are divisive, they're petty, they make false promises to the young people. I mean, let's do free education. I mean, when I went to college, I had to pay for most of my college, and then my graduate degree, I paid for 100% of it. And nobody gave it to me. Nobody gave it to any of my brothers and sisters and my family. So, you know, they're giving false promises to young people. And so I feel that Trump is on the straight and narrow path and trying to make a difference in this country.
Got it. Gina, thanks for calling in and sharing that. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let's jump over to Connie, who's calling in from Utah. But if you want to chime in, specifically, if you changed your vote, maybe you wrote somebody in last time, maybe you didn't vote, you just weren't comfortable, whatever the case may be, but you're going to vote for him this time, or maybe you voted for him and you're not going to this time. I haven't run into anybody yet where that's the case. Or if you're switching from Democrat to Republican, that's fascinating as well. Would love to hear from you. 866-348-7884 is my number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Connie calling in from Utah. Connie, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. I didn't vote for Trump the first time, and I am definitely not voting for him this time.
So why not the first time, and why not this time?
Well, my main issue is his pro-life situation. Anybody can say that they're pro-life, but he hasn't done anything about it. There are abortions going on by the thousands or more.
Well, through some executive action, just so you know this, and I'm not working for his campaign, but just so you know this, through executive action, they did remove about $60 million in funding from Planned Parenthood. They're still giving them over $550 million because you need Congress to do it as well. But at least they did do that. He did sign the Mexico policy, and he has done some very pro-life things, which I appreciate.
And I think he's acting like a child right now by getting rid of some of the people that voted against him on this thing last time.
You mean like Vindman?
Yeah.
Well, Vindman in his testimony did admit that he leaked things to the press, which was, you can't have somebody in your staff that's leaking things to the press. So I wouldn't have a problem with that one. So for you, though, you would say that, Connie, that kind of his personality stuff is more important than you, than his results.
Well, I know that I just can't understand why so many Christians are voting for him. I'm Christian, but I can't see anything good about him.
Well,
to me, he just acts like a bully.
Well, okay, setting all that stuff aside about his personality, I don't like the way he treats people. I don't like the things he says about people. I don't like the way he approaches people. I don't appreciate that. But there's a lot of things about his presidency. And for me as a Christian, because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ myself, we're always picking between the lesser of two evils. There's only one perfect candidate. And I know that sounds kind of extreme, and he doesn't need our vote because he's already the king of the universe. But when it comes to that, unfortunately, we're always going to deal with very flawed people. And then if you want to start measuring just how flawed they are, you can certainly do that. But I don't think pragmatism for a Christian in a broken world is sinful. I think it's something we have to deal with. But I know it's a tough thing, Connie, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing that for a lot of people. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
Okay, thanks. And have a great afternoon. You're welcome. Let's jump. I'm just trying to get through calls because we're tight on time. I want to go to Big Mo calling in from North Carolina. I love that name. Thanks for calling, Big Mo. Go right ahead.
Oh, yes. I was on a little early, I thought, but I got cut off.
Sorry about that.
No, I'm not voting for him. I'm an evangelical. I am an African American. I didn't vote the first time, and I won't this time. And it's amazing how right seems to be flipped to wrong under Trump. And Isaiah talks about there will come a time when people call good evil and evil good.
Sure.
Man, with all the lying that he does, the disrespect, low integrity.
Did you?
He said about what?
Yes. Mo, did you vote for Hillary last time?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so when we bring up Christian values and stuff, and I'm just curious how you handle this. When we bring up Christian values stuff, how do you handle the abortion issue, which is clearly anti-biblical? It's clearly murder. I don't think anybody can argue about that.
I did the same thing that you did, the lesser of two evils. And I don't understand. And even what Trump said about Mitt Romney, I have not heard any of my brothers and sisters stand up for that man. And
well, I'll say this, and Mo, I'm up against the break, so I got to let you go, but thanks for calling. I appreciate that. I didn't like the way you handled Mitt Romney either. I don't like the way he handles most people. But going back to the abortion thing, Mo, with all due respect, I don't know how you set that aside, say it's a lesser two evils. That's why you voted for Hillary. Hillary loves Planned Parenthood and supports abortion. Trump doesn't in his activities. It's a no-brainer.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough,
Facebook, change your vote. Curious about that. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And no disrespect meant to you, Big Mo, who called in a few minutes ago. But just speaking in general, I'm not speaking about him particularly. But in general, if you look at that and go, okay, I brought up Hillary Clinton, who is a supporter, a major supporter, received the Planned Parenthood Margaret Sanger Award, was proud of it. They will back up and protect Planned Parenthood like it's their own child sometimes. And you can't make that a moral equivalent with a guy who has five kids from three wives. You go look up Donald Trump quotes from before he was the president. There wasn't much about him I liked at all. And there's still a lot of things about Donald Trump personally and the way he handles people and the way he communicates that I don't like. But if you're going to put a moral equivalency on it, that's not morally equivalent to supporting an industry that kills upwards of 1 million babies a year and makes blood money off of it. You cannot compare those two. If you're going to hold to a biblical ethic, you can't do that. And so you're left with those two issues, those two people. And so I did what I believe was a righteous thing. God knew when I went in and voted for Donald Trump in November of 2016, I wasn't endorsing anything about his negative character traits. I wasn't endorsing any of that. And I still not. That's why I'm not a MAGA hat wearing guy. You're not going to see a Trump sign in my front yard because there's a lot of things about Donald Trump I'm not proud of. But there are a lot of things about his presidency that I am. And we, in case you haven't noticed, we live in a really messed up world. And so I'm forced to be pragmatic as a follower of Christ in a terribly broken, fallen world. But don't try to make the immoral equivalence between a candidate who's for baby murder and a candidate who's had a lot of personal issues and treats people poorly. That's not a moral equivalent. You can't do that. Let's jump over to Victoria. Hey, Victoria, are you still there? Sorry, I've had you hold on for so long. Go right ahead.
Yes. Well, I want to know what Christian has a right to make a moral equivalent of anything. Christ is the bottom line, and lying is not... He doesn't make abortion any worse than lying. Lying, any of those things.
All right, let me ask you this question right quick,
lying,
Victoria.
Lying, cheating, stealing.
Okay, Victoria, let me ask you a question because...
Just a minute. Everything in the Ten Commandments is God's law. And what he calls for in the New Testament is love. And there's very little love coming from the Christian community in this area. And even the president, he disrespects the Christian principle of love. Did you not hear what he said at the
at
the prayer breakfast?
Yeah, and did you hear Nancy Pelosi? Most of them, Victoria, most of them are guilty. Most of them are guilty of that.
He respects the flag, but he disrespects people.
Oh, yeah, most of them are guilty of that, Victoria.
And he is
Nancy, hold on a second.
And if you're not careful, we're going to be in a communist country, because if you read anything about Hitler, his traits are just like his. And
we're
going to end with abortion and everything.
Victoria, let me ask you a question.
Unchristian country.
Let me ask you a question right quick.
I'm sorry. I would not
Victoria?
Vote for him if you...
All right, I'm putting you on hold because you won't let me say anything. Now, you can hang up if you want, but I got to ask you this question, because this theological question is way bigger than Donald Trump. Do you really think, ma'am, that God, if you lie to your neighbor and then you murder your other neighbor, do you really think those are equally egregious in their sin? Is that equal sin? Where you have lying...
Oh, for
ma'am,
either one.
I agree with that. Okay, I'm not going to keep doing that. If you're not willing to go back and forth, then I'm not going to keep you on the air. Okay, so I'm not going to do that. Here's the deal. Guilty of one, guilty of all. That means if you're guilty of one because of the holiness of God, you're separated from God eternally as if you had broken the entire Ten Commandments, which, by the way, we all do. So there's that, and then there's the issue of, are all sins equally egregious and offensive to God and in their effect? Me lying to my wife, ma'am, or anybody else who has this wrong, is not as equally egregious as me murdering my wife. Some sins are worse than others, but any sin is enough to separate you from God forever. And Jesus himself talked about it's going to be worse for these cities than those cities. There's going to be worse judgment for some than others. So you got to get your theology right. I understand where you're coming from. And you start talking about abortion and that all of a sudden he's Hitler. We're going to be a communist country. The only thing that's going to make us a communist country, ma'am, is if we elect somebody like Bernie Sanders. Donald Trump is a capitalist. He has no interest in communism because that's not how he makes money. Because he'll get out of the White House eventually. He'll go back to making money. So, but on the other issue, the theological issue, okay? Just so you know, all sins are not the same. That's simply bad theology. And if any of you think I'm nuts, go study it for yourself. Because I'm not. It's correct. I'm not pontificating. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. Let's go to, before we run out of time, let's go to Jean calling in from Lexington. Sorry to keep you holding, Jean. Go right ahead.
That's okay, Steve. Listen, I'm a black female. I voted for Trump in 2016. I intend to vote for him now. Now, let me tell you the reason I didn't vote for Obama. When I heard Obama say that he didn't want his daughters not to have a choice to murder his grandchild if they made a mistake. So he was all about Planned Parenthood. And I had Catholic women come to my door to try and influence me to vote for Obama. I said, I can't believe y'all are doing this. Because if you say you are Christian, how can you stand and vote for this man? That's the reason I didn't vote for Obama. But when my family found out I voted for Trump, I am the worst individual in the world. And I told them, listen, when Trump said he's going to give the pastor back their pulpit, and he said he will stand for pro-life, he had my vote. Now, I am their worst enemy. And that first lady that called in, she was black. I know she was. I wanted to know, why did she vote for Obama? You didn't answer that question, but I was hoping you would. When she was talking about she was a Christian and all the division. Go ahead and see.
Yeah, well, you brought it up. I mean, I don't have to go anywhere else other than the abortion issue. And it stops and starts there. If you're going to make an excuse for abortion and a candidate and then call somebody else, he's mean to people and he's had affairs, blah, 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 blah. But you're casting your vote for a member of the party whose flag is soaked in the blood of the unborn. You just simply can't justify that as a Christian. You cannot.
You cannot. And one thing, people need to educate themselves about the Democratic Party. They were in office alone. They were the ones that had the Jim Crow laws.
That's
they
right.
They were the ones that held black people back. Black people don't get, I'm black. Been black all my life. I'm 65 years old. They don't educate themselves. My family don't educate themselves. We need to stop this and educate us. They need to listen to Candace Owens. a young black female who has educated herself.
I'm with you.
And gives them some education. It irks me when I hear older black people call in and still talk about this rhetoric about the Democratic Party.
Yeah, you want to know, and you know this, Gene, you want to know who voted against both the 13th and the 14th Amendment to end slavery and give blacks the voting right? You know who voted against that? The Democrat Party. You know who started the Ku Klux Klan? The Democrat Party. You know who opposed the civil rights movement until Johnson figured it out? The Democrat Party.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you, Gene. Thanks for calling in.
If the law is real, they allow people to be living in 2020. Has my vote.
Yep. Amen. I'm with you. Thanks, Gene. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. That was a great call. Let's jump over to Sandy, who's calling in from Winston-Salem. Sandy, I lost Sandy, so let's jump over to, I've been keeping people on hold too long. Michelle, you're on. You're on with Steve. Sorry to keep you holding. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Thank you. And I just want to applaud Gene because she's using her brain, which is what we need people to do in this country. I wanted to refer to the discussion of division, because I think that as Christians, we really need to take this beyond what we see on the what we can see and taste and feel, and recognize that this is a spiritual issue. This is an issue that, when you look at the Democratic Party and what they're trying to do, every platform that they have is about destroying God, His word, the fact that He made us male and female, the fact that He made marriage between a man and a woman, and they're trying to completely remove God and all of His followers from any sense of leadership and from having any voice in this country. And whether or not we like how Donald Trump is saying things, I think we need to recognize that the entire media is paid and bought by the Democratic Party. So in order for him to get around that, he has had to use Twitter, and he's had to say things that cause them to just go into a panic mode, and then he gets busy changing the country to go back to a constitutional republic. I mean, he throws stuff out there and makes everybody lose their minds, and then he goes, okay, now I'm just going to go and I'm going to, you know, put 170 conservative judges, you know, and appoint people. And as Christians, how can we... he's never stated that he's a born-again believer. So why are we putting this expectation on him?
And that's a great point. I appreciate you calling in, Michelle, and thanks for all the work that you do. And that's a great point. Donald Trump hasn't stepped up and said, by the way, I'm born again. I know some people that have had dinner with him. Some say he is, some say he isn't. Until he says he is, I'm not going to hold him to that standard. But we're all going to hold him to a godly standard, because we all get held to it whether we like it or not. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Everybody, take a deep breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Just take a deep breath. Get that heart rate down a little bit. It's spirited conversations about politics, important. The gospel, preeminent. Okay? So I get a little whacked out, too. I get exercised. I get mad. I get disappointed. But if one of my Christian brothers or sisters calls in and they're saying something, I'm like, I have no idea how you can say that, blah, 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 blah. But if we got together in a coffee shop, and this is what we all need to try to do, if we got together in a coffee shop, can I love you and fellowship with you and worship the Lord with you, even if you vote for the opposite party? If you vote for the Democrat Party, for me, because I'm like, I don't know how you do that. But I'm not going to throw somebody out if they're my brother or sister in Christ, because that's not a top tier issue. The gospel is the top tier issue. Not anymore, though. Not in this world, not in this country, and not in a lot of Christianity. Politics is the top tier issue. Now, we should be able to have spirited debate, but we're sitting there talking about Trump doesn't love anybody. Trump doesn't love anybody. How about the rest of us? And we're actually calling ourselves born-again Christians. Are we loving each other well? I don't often love people well on social media. I just tear into them. And that's not loving people well. And I trash my witness before the watching world, and especially before the Lord. So, wow, we need to be careful. It's easy to point the white-hot spotlight of judgment at the culture or at the president or anybody else. But we got to be willing to turn it and point it at ourselves, the white-hot spotlight of judgment. and not be like the guy in the book of James, who looks at himself and goes, oh, yeah, I've got some problems, too. And then he walks away from the mirror and goes, yeah, but that Trump guy or that Nancy Pelosi guy, I'll tell you what, when you and I are standing at the judgment seat of Christ, hope you'll be standing there as a believer. I'm not going to be standing there with Donald Trump or Nancy Pelosi or Adolf Hitler or anybody else. I'm going to stand there by myself and give an account for what I did with my salvation. Again, well, them over there, that over there, and over here. No, you're going to be there all by yourself. So we better make sure we're dealing with the plank sticking out of our own eye before we deal with the speck sticking out of everybody else's. Hey, David Fisher. Sorry, I was on a little bit of a rant here. We've had kind of a wild show talking about voting or not voting for Trump in the fall. So I appreciate you allowing me to finish my rant. Thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. And a little Money Monday update. But sorry about that. Thanks for your patience.
No, no problem. Actually, I seldom, very seldom ever get to listen in, and I caught the last 10 minutes of it, and I thought to myself, you know, I sent you our scripture over an hour and 15 minutes ago from right now about there. Little did I know.
Little did you know.
That was going to be on the coattails on
oh,
what you
goodness.
Just talked about.
Yes.
Funny how the Holy Spirit works.
Oh, knock, knock. Hey, Steve, anybody home? Okay, so since you brought it up, Ecclesiastes 7:9, which everybody's going to get this if they don't know that one already. So let's start there, and then we'll talk about the economy.
Well, this is not geared at your listeners, you. It's like something that's going on in my heart. I'll share out of the abundance of my heart something I've worked through. So anyway, Ecclesiastes 7:9, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. You know, what are the two things politics and religions never talk about? The family dinner or something like that.
How
of course,
boring.
We talk about those at our house. You know, how boring life would be if you didn't
Me
talk
too.
About that. But, you know, I ask the question many times, who's the person that has influenced you the most? And obviously, as believers, we say the Lord, you know, and obviously, we on our earth, we say, you know, our parents, our dad, or our mom, or maybe it's a role model that we, person we work for, you know, a best friend or something like that. There, I think there's another entity that has influenced us the most, and I'm not becoming humanism. I want to make sure I'm not, everybody knows I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I proclaim
Amen.
I'm a Christian, a follower of Jesus. So don't take this next statement as anything outside of the realm. But sometimes the person that influenced us most is us.
Yeah.
Because we put the wall up and not allow the biggest influencer that shed his blood for us, Jesus Christ, we don't allow him to influence our life. And, you know, God is a gentleman, a loving God, and he's also a God of anger and wrath, but he respects that. He doesn't, you know, bully us over. He loves us into relationship and disciplines us also, but I think that us as believers, you know, we should be slow to anger, quick for forgiveness, and sometimes just take a deep breath, like you said. And it's a process that we all, you know, when I got saved at age 16 at a crusade, I didn't learn this back then. It took me years of, you know, saying, okay, take a deep breath, David. Don't let this provoke your spirit.
Yep.
And the more we do that, we can still be passionate, but not let it affect our spirit, because
Amen.
That's the thing that gets contacted with God and how he dwells within
that's right.
us.
Yeah, and your anger, do not sin. God never tells us don't get angry. Just make sure your anger is righteous,
yeah.
and then
Correct.
Don't let that lead you into sin, which is where we have to be very, very careful. So praise the Lord for that. What great timing, and only God could have known that was going to be so needed at the end of those last three segments. So thanks for that and allowing the Lord to use you that way. Stocks have been moving up. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, great partner with the show. And we've been doing radio together for several years now, helping us understand all the complex things going on out there in the economy and banking and how all that flows into the stock market, and then how you use precious metals as a hedge against all of that. So stocks have been moving up a bit. I mean, it was bad at the end of January. It's been moving back up a bit ever since then. We had the coronavirus going on. So what's kind of driving the markets right now? They're having a good day today, up 174 points.
Yeah, well, it's obviously the coronavirus is not affecting the market. Ours, it is affecting the Asian market significantly. The World Health Organization said that we're just the tip of the iceberg of this. So it's probably going to get worse, but I hope it's still contained. But it isn't affecting the market. There's a disconnect. I think what's affecting the market and it's going up is two simple things: corporate bonds, which I have a video that's going to be put up probably today on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, in depth about corporate bonds. We're going to talk about that a little bit today if you have a few moments. But also the Fed. So we've been talking about the Fed injecting money. But, you know, I want to go backwards just for a second. You and I talked off the air the other day, and I was talking to you about, and I'm not endorsing this stock, I'm not putting it down either, but we're going to use it as an example, and this is what's happening in the market, and that's Uber. Uber stock based out of, started 2009 out of San Francisco, California, kind of the tech, whole area, tech area for the dot-com craze that started in 2001, way back then, when we had the bubble burst. But Uber went public May of 2019 at $45 a share. They're 40 now, so they're down a little bit. It was as low as 26 since the IPO. But, you know, they have a lot of debt, $3 billion. They had an operating losses in 2018, 2017, the year before, $4 billion. First, second, and third quarter this year, they're at like $7.2 billion. So they're carrying on a lot of debt. They just issued a whole other bond of bonds, $1.2 billion in junk bonds, according to Standard Poor's CCC+ rating, which is not a good rating. That's a terrible rating. They're trying to raise $700 million, and more people are buying this junk bond in hopes. Of the stock going up. So the environment is like insane right now.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of billionaires are saying this is like the dot-com craze, but with the debt craze coupled with it of 2008. So this is why when, you know, this is all going to change, but corporate bonds are really becoming an issue.
Yeah, when we hear corporate bonds, we need to think debt, right?
Exactly. The debt of the corporate bonds, Steve, you know, just put it into perspective, in 2007, before the crash, was $4.9 trillion. In 2008, it was $6.6 trillion. In 2019, CNBC announced it was a bubble at $9.1 trillion in November of that year, and now we're a year plus out of that, and now it's at $15.5 trillion. So just in the last year and a few months, it's risen $6.6 trillion, which is the total market capitalization of 2008, which pulled the plug on the whole thing. It caused Bear Stearns to go down. The next day, Lehman Brothers, you know, CLOs also caused it. So, you know, that is collateralized loan obligations, you know, the leverage money. But, you know, a bond, when you can't pay bonds back, that's a leveraged investment. So this is what's the problem that's happening. And put into perspective, one more thing about corporate bonds is that the triple B bond, which is one step above junk, it's not a good bond, but it's the main area. It was 35% in 2008. Now it's 50% today.
Wow. Yeah,
and
wow.
In the last year, according to Morgan Stanley, there's been a 50% default rate in corporate bonds. So it's growing to be a big problem.
Yeah. Well, you and I were talking the other day, and this is something that David and I would both emphasize to all of us, to think just because Donald Trump's the president or because things are going well right now, that things are going to perpetually go well, is to ignore history. We talked one minute about, we had a caller saying, hey, we don't know our history when it comes to the Democrat Party and some African-American issues. If you think that this surge is going to continue just because Trump's the president, you don't know your history. We have cycle after cycle after cycle. And when we see this kind of debt and nobody really talking about it, same thing on the federal level. These are all significant yellow flags, and we need to be paying attention to it. You think this rally will last? You think we'll get through the whole year and stocks will just continue to edge up?
Well, that's the trillion-dollar question, is going to be based upon the Fed. And, you know, there's this index called the probability of recession within the next 12 months put together by the Fed. And right now it's at 33%. So that means there's a third chance that we will have a recession in the next 12 months. So everybody's going, we're okay. Let's put it in perspective. In 2007, there was a 42% chance of a default happening within a year. So get some more knowledge about this. You can call my company. I also have a YouTube channel. There's going to be a corporate bond video up there, a lot more in depth. Get some gold. Get some education. We're here for you.
Yeah, you got to hedge the other side of your. You know this, and I talk about this all the time. You go back to our childhood, and you're playing on the teeter totter. You got all this weight on one end, and if you take the weight off the other end, you got a problem. So, are you balancing your teeter totter or a sailboat? You got all the sails above. That's kind of the regular stock market world. What do you have underneath the boat to balance it out? That's the whole point of talking about precious metals. LandmarkGold.com. You can get more information and education from David and his team. LandmarkGold.com or 844-879-8882. David, thanks so much for calling in, brother. We'll talk to you again soon.
God bless you, Steve.
You too, pal. We'll talk soon. All right. God willing, friends, I'll talk to you again real soon.